all the games I used to play in my younger, wilder days, the game of clubs and teams.
Let's get going, though. Let's roll through this real quick. 3M Open, your specialty in the golf world, 3M Open. What'd you call it, the second biggest open of the year?
It's the second best open of the year, yeah. It's mostly a joke, by the way.
Yeah.
But it gets people going because I tweeted that the first time and people are all over, like, oh, the field sucks so bad. Like, no shit. It's the week after the Open. what do you expect's going to happen? They're all like across overseas. And you think good golfers are going to be playing the Open at St. Andrews and they're just going to pop on a plane and come to Minnesota in maybe the worst time of the year other than like January to be in Minnesota? No, nobody's coming here. Like, why would it makes no sense? Like, this tournament, the field sucks. The course is but it's bottom half of courses in Minnesota, probably. Like, the course is not great. It just everything about it is average or worse. So like, so everybody's shitting on it. So I'm just going to take the opposite side and say, you know what? Fuck all you guys. This is the second best open. So that's the route I'm taking now. And I'm just going to try and pump it up the best I can.
I don't know, man. I like the golf course, very risk reward on 18, and you know, 18 can make or break you, your lineup. And
17 can too, by the way. It depends what yardage they play it at. It's the par three with the water over in front of it. They can play that as far back, like to like 180 yards. And that's a nasty hole if it gets windy because the green isn't very big and like it's water then green. So if you miss short, you're dead. But they play it up a couple days, I think. So it gets a little easier, but I mean, yeah, the last two holes are like, that's a lot of risk reward there for sure.
Yeah. Let's get going.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Welcome into the Turner Fantasy Golf Podcast. As always, I'm Andrew Putters. I got my man, Just Swish, hear me, Josh Bennett, straight from the 3M Open. The Golf Guys Podcast, rotoballer.com, course reviewer of things. Got him in this week to talk specifically on 3M Open, where he was at all day today with our buddy Chad, Josh's realtor. And looked like Chad was feeling pretty good from the Twitter feed today. Looked like he was in his element.
Yes.
Almost. I think whenever he throws back a couple, he almost goes in Jim Carrey mode a little bit, you know. But yeah,
my favorite story today, by the way, we're sitting on 13, I think, is one of the par threes. 13. It's like a 230-yard par three. It actually doesn't even matter. So KJ Choi is up on the green and he looks over and Fluff, Furyk's old caddy or is his current caddy, whatever. Fluff is his caddy today. And he's like yelling at Fluff, like, what are you doing out in this heat? Because it's really hot here. Didn't really get a response. I think we're too far away. So KJ Choi comes walking off the green and he comes walking over, starts signing autographs for some of these kids. And Chad goes up to him and gives him a huge slap on the back. Like when he hit his shoulder, it was like a loud slap. Like he hit him. I was like, oh my God, his shoulder is like broken. So he hits him on the back. And then in my brain, I expected him to be like, hey, go get him this week. Let's get a victory or something. Nope. Hits him on the shoulder and then goes, hey, try and make a cut this weekend. And the best part about this actually is he did that trying to be nice. It wasn't like, hey, you suck at golf, like make a cut. He was trying to be nice, like, hey, try hard and make a cut. It sounded like ripped him on the shoulder. It was so loud, and then said, hey, try and make a cut. It was totally Chad's element too. He was talking to He talked to Cam Champ, he talked to Adam Svensson, he talked to Kiradech. Happy Barn Rat. He was talking to all these dudes. It was wild. It was fun though. It was
good times. Last week, I mean, I think everybody already talked several days about the British Open. So I don't even know if we even bothered with that. Cam Smith took it down. Great final back nine. Yes. It's hard to watch.
What's your opinion on? So there's a lot of people going back and forth on Rory last week on if he gave it away or if he just got beat. I have an opinion. What's yours?
I think he got beat. He played very conservative. If you watch, I tweeted out yesterday, shared a video of all the birdie putts he missed. And it wasn't like a shot of him at all. It's just hard to watch, and you can kind of see his putting stroke. He didn't release on the final round, you could tell, especially early on, because we had like 15 feet the first three holes or something like that, or three out of the first four, and didn't make them, and kind of sets the tone, right? Especially, sure. He's always been a momentum player, you know, and whenever he's got momentum, he's impossible to beat, and when he doesn't, it's not that it's hard to watch, it's just he doesn't have his best stuff, and so it's almost like putting kind of goes like moves all of his game, including like short iron shots. And whenever the putter's going in, he's hitting the driver better. He's hitting his irons better. He's, you know, I don't think he lost. I think he got beaten. Hats off to Cam Smith and Cam Young. Very impressive. The that eagle on 18 was sick.
Nuts.
That was sick.
That was so
cool. Now I do think maybe got a little tighter there at the end, especially on 18. How'd Rory come up short on 18? He was trying to guide it, I feel, maybe, and just
had to. He's got plenty of power to get there.
Yeah.
I think
he's got a little too much power, honestly, on 18.
Yeah, it might be true. Yeah,
because I know DJ. I saw him 1 year on the final round, no win at all. Hit it OB over the green. So that's probably it. You know, it's probably if he really hits a good one with a good bounce, he might be long gone, and he was just trying to maybe skirt it up there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who cares about the live golf situation right now? We got three tournaments and then the playoffs, right? So, yeah. First of all, thanks everybody for listening. If you want to subscribe to PGA Premium on rotoballer.com, or Josh breaks down week by week every golf course. Joe's got Horse for the Course. Core four to build your lives around. Spencer's Vegas Report is next level. Byron's been crushing it in the low roller section with the beating 100. And then you got Rob doing the, if you're ever looking to maybe bench a guy that's going to be high owned, you go to him, man. Look for pivots with Rob. So Robar has, in my opinion, the best all around golf content out there, and you can subscribe using the PGA Premium code TURN to get a little discount off that for the year. So I try to play in the state am.
You did that today, or was that yesterday?
It was yesterday.
Yep.
I was in the last group. I think they started like 8, maybe. I was in the 11:40 tee time. Which it was 100% chance of rain all day. Did not rain at all. But it was like 10 miles out, and where we played was Oak Ridge Country Club, which is sits down in a hole. There's no mountains protecting it. You're going to get rain. You know what I mean? And so it come in there, lightning right in the middle of 10 fairway. And I haven't played since June the 12th. I tweeted that out the other day. The second round of the Knox County Amateur, haven't played. So it's literally just like, let's scrape around and try to just do something. And I've always been a figure outer kind of golfer anyway. So hit it pretty good that 9.5 holes, and shot even par on the front. Rained as hard as you could see for 2.5 hours. There's standing water all over the golf course. And they said, come back tomorrow at 8:30. Well, of course, there's 60 guys for 18 spots, maybe, and I don't know, maybe 20 didn't show back up today. Of course, most of them were out of contention. And, I was one over. I cold topped. So, and here's another thing. Well, I don't play a lot. If I do play, I'm really sore the next day, you know? I mean, you know what it's like if you take a month or two off. So, I'm like, can't hardly move this morning. Back out there at 8:30 in position. I'm just like, get it in the fairway, just get it on the green any way you can, no matter what. So we're playing this par five and Byron's over here texting me. Get up there on this par five. It's like 270, which by the way, this hole's like 5 something. I don't know. And normally you hit it up there and you get about 240 in. Well, I'm like, literally over the top, hold on, skanking it out there. So I got like 275. I'm just going to pound a 3-wood out there and, yeah, cold top it. So I had 245 in.
Love
and then
that.
Hit a 2-iron to about just off the green, chipped up there and made par. But birdie 16 and 7. One over going into 16, birdie 16 and 17. Shoot one under, get in. 71 at Oak Ridge Country Club for Stallings grew up playing. It's a good little track. You would like it. You would like it a lot. Hitting the fairway, it's a pretty easy golf course, but it's not really that tight.
Fairways, though, that's a problem.
Very wide, very wide. Well, it's not that tight, but it looks tight. So, like, you know, man, this fairway, and there's trees over here. So, like, the trouble's on one side or the other, not on both. Does that make sense? All right,
that's good for me, then. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it looks very tight. So, anyway, yeah, got in. So, State Am's at Cherokee Country Club, Don Ross Design here locally, a little short, a little bitty short. Undulated greens, like 60, I think it's 6,400 yards. It's like on like 25 acres. Like, it's tiny. I mean, it's in the old money area of Knoxville. And it was built, you know, way back. I don't know when it was built, 20 something, maybe. I don't know. 19, I don't know. But they had it there in 2011. I played in it, shot 74-92, I think. Yeah. Shanked it like 14 times the second day.
92.
Yeah. They had the rough so high that the rough was so high there in 11, they had to cut it between the second and third round.
Wow. That's nuts.
Yeah, it was like 6 to 9 inches in places, like normal rough.
Wow.
So I don't know if they'll do that again, but yeah.
Jesus.
That's my golf story. You know,
that's cool, man. That's nice.
Yeah.
I played 3 qualifiers for stuff like that this year. I shot a 10 in all 3 of them. So there you go.
Well,
and I've played to a 1, so like 10s are not normal for me.
Well, you just got to make pars. That's all you in qualifiers. Just make pars. I've tried to play in the State Am 3 times. I've made it all 3 times. You just go out there and make pars. That's all you do. Just make pars. You'll end up making birdies because, I mean, for the most part, those qualifiers are not, they're not set up super difficult, right?
No,
I mean, conditions. So what they, you know, just make pars and make birdies and try to make birdies on the par 5. That's all you got to do. Yeah, so that's my strategy anyway. But
it doesn't work very well so far. Well, we'll get them next year though, maybe.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, so that's my golf story for life. You all day at the 3M Open, you played golf, I heard. I mean, you've been at it since what, 7 in the morning probably?
It's a long day for me. Yeah, I had to get up at like 7 or so and then met our guy Chad at the 3M at like 11 or so. We were out there till 2 or 3, we played league on Tuesday night. So I went out and played league, played 18 holes, rushed back home, was on tap and birdie with our guy, Brian Kirshner, and Chad was on the show too. And then, here we are. So it's been all golf for me today. It's been kind of fun. No, didn't get a whole lot of work done, by the way.
you think it's not October, April, we're good, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or January 15th too, I guess.
Right, exactly. Yeah, all the tax days are
not great. Well, so let's talk about a little bit 3M Open. 3M Open established in I didn't know it was that young of a tournament. 2019. This held at the TPC Twin Cities, which is the Arnold Palmer Design. Past champions here, Matthew Wolf in 2019, the infamous 50-footer that cost Joe Nicely 6 figures. Michael Thompson in 2020, Cam Champ last year, which your boy Chad went on his little heater. I remember that well.
Yep. He had more power than Champ.
This is a little bit different TPC than we're used to seeing, I feel, than normal TPC tracks. There is a little bit of target golf, but not too terribly long. TPC Twin Cities. It's in Blaine, Minnesota, which, by the way, I threw out there on Twitter also. Minneapolis, one of the best airports in the country, in my opinion.
Really? You think? I haven't been to a ton, but that's kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, it's just very nice and big.
It is big, that's for sure. They got 2 terminals too. So they got the one big one where all like the big airlines sit, and then they have another smaller one that's like kind of down the road that's less nice, but
yeah,
the bigger one is decent. They've been doing a lot of construction on it though, so when you drive into it, like if you live here and are going to the airport, it kind of looks like a dump because there's just cranes and like dirt and shit everywhere. So it looks shitty, but then you get inside and I think, yeah, you're probably right. It's kind of nice inside. So
it is nice. One of the nice ones I ever had a 6-hour layover in. TPC Twin Cities, par 71, 7,400 yards roughly, bent grass throughout, which I'm sure the players love. It's probably the best surface to play on under if it's in good shape. Centimeter 12.
All you get here, man. It's the only thing they can grow.
Yeah.
Everything else dies.
Stint meter at run at 12, which is faster than average for the PGA Tour. Like I said, designed 2000 by Arnold Palmer, redesigned by Steve Winzeloff. I think it's his name. How close is this to you?
I think like 20, a little over, maybe a little less than 20 miles. So probably took me a little over 25 minutes to get there. Probably wasn't bad. It's pretty close. I've never played there personally. It's a private course here. So you got to know somebody that knows somebody to get there. But the Monday qualifier course that they play on is right down the road. It's called Victory Links and it's much shorter, but it's kind of similar. And I played there once. It's all right. But I have walked around TPC Twin Cities a lot, though. I've been there all 3 years they've had it. I've been to the practice rounds every Tuesday. The last tournament I didn't get to go as much as I wanted to. The weather was kind of shitty. But the year before I was there a bunch. So I've seen it. I know a lot of what it looks like. It's nice. It's long though.
Yeah. This is where DJ made it like a 10 on 18 and withdrew after 9 holes.
I think he shot like 80 or something like that.
Yeah. I remember that very well. Very, very well. Let's just get into the slate. 9K and above. This is a weird slate this year, this week. Davis Riley, 9K. Maverick McNealy, 93. Hadwin, 96. The Gala, 98. Sungjae, 10. Matsuyama, 10-3. Finau, 10-5. I want to say McNealy. McNealy's a perfect spot for weaker fields. We like to go to him a lot. However, he's pretty expensive this week. I don't know. We can say anybody is very lovely up here. Right out of the gate, Davis Riley definitely somebody we like to see. I watched
Davis Riley wipe it almost into the houses on the first hole today.
Yeah,
get lagged. A breakfast ball down and dropped around the middle of the fairway. So.
Yeah, he was trying to throw one off for you.
Yeah. I mean, the first hole bends a little right, so I'm guessing he was out there trying stuff and just kind of just wiped a little bit. But anyways.
Okay, so you like anybody in the 9K and up?
It's kind of weird because I do, but I am concerned because and it might be the same throughout the country, but it's like here, it's very hot and it's hard. It's like hard to breathe outside because it's so muggy and like the air is very heavy. So I'm pretty concerned with the dudes that are coming from the Open that played all four rounds. They got to travel here. Then they got to somehow like get ready for the tournament this week. And then like walk their way through this very long course for 4 days. I think fatigue is going to be a factor for dudes that played on Sunday this past weekend. So like originally when I look at the field, like Tony seems like by far the best golfer in this field and I would play him 1,000%, but like I'm actually concerned if he's like going to be too fatigued to play all four rounds. So and same with Hideki and Sungjae, so and Thigal, like these top four guys. It seems hard for me to believe that they're gonna be able to play all four rounds and be like in shape to hit their best golf shots. So, but then as I go down, I'm like, am I really gonna play Adam Hadwin over Tony Finau? And then again, my brain's like, no. So now I go back and I'm like, I'm just going to play Tony Finau, I think, because he just fits this golf course so good. He's played it pretty good before. I mean, we're looking for bombers. We're looking for dudes that can make birdies and bunches. So I've been rattling this around in my brain for a long time, but I think I'm just going to stay at the top and just go with Tony and say that he's just the best golfer here and hope he figures it out with the weather. He also, I didn't see him today. I saw Hideki, I saw Sungjae, saw Hadwin, didn't see Thigala, didn't see Tony. It doesn't mean they weren't there, but it could mean that they're here, but they're just resting and staying out of the heat. So maybe that's a good thing. I think I'm going with Tony to long-winded answer to your question.
Long-winded one word answer. I like it. I'm with you. The top four there, you're going to have major concerns. However, let's be honest. I mean, if Matsuyama or Finau are on, they could wipe the field, obviously, right?
For sure. Yep.
So I don't know. I feel like a very safe play is Davis Riley, but he's never played here. So safer. You could trickle down. I mean, you're saving 1400, 15, 1600 and play in Cam Davis. Didn't he like runner up last week or something? I think he almost won.
Yeah, he was, I just had it up. I think he was sixth last week or something like that. And then the week before he was eighth.
He's a stud, man.
Yeah, eighth, 56th at the Travelers, 53rd. Then the Charles Schwab, he was seventh, third at the RBC, 46th at the Mass. Like he's good at golf, and he's just kind of like he's hanging out there in a weird range where, like I feel like the guys that are like 93 to 88 don't get a whole lot of love every week because it's just hard to fit them into rosters a lot of time. Because a lot of times people are going up and then they got to go somewhere in like the low eights, a couple guys in the seven. So it feels like the dudes in the high or the low nines, high eights don't get a whole lot of love. I think he's in a weird price range where I think you can take advantage of it a little bit. I think you think he's really good for this turn. I think he finished pretty good here last year too.
28th in 21, 12th in 2020, missed the cut 19.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's fine. It's not bad.
Right. Let's move on down here. 80, Cam Davis, Tringale, Chaz Reavy won last week. Adam Long, who's played pretty well. Let's see. Yeah, 25th last year, second year before. JT Poston has – I don't know what he did last week at the Open, but
he missed a cut.
But he won the week before. But he kind of did it in JT Poston, if we can call that JT Poston fashion, where he just blitzed the field and then held on, right?
Yep.
Hubbard's withdrew, Brandon Steele, 8,300, Martin Laird, 82, CH3 withdrew, Nick Hardy. I think this top part right here is pretty intriguing. Adam Long, Reavy, Tringale, Davis. Other than that, deuces. Rest this. I mean, I got no love for these guys.
Yeah, I'm liking Cam Davis for sure, as we just said. Tringale, I think, is going to end up being pretty popular. I think he's got a pretty good, the 3 years that it's been here, I think he's been pretty good. 16th, 3rd, 42nd. So at 8,800, I mean, that's a pretty good track record. It's like decent form too. He's got like 6th and 14th here. I think I'm with you. I'm going to skip pretty much all these guys. Like Chez does nothing for me. Adam Long does nothing for me. Poston, nothing. Steele, Laird, like these dudes do nothing. If I'm going to take another guy other than Cameron Davis, I think I'm going to go with Nick Hardy, though. He hasn't played here before, but his form is like real good. He's got a going back. He's 30th, 8th, 14th, 35th. So he's just kind of like, he's kind of in contention, but he's just kind of there all the time. And I don't know if people know, but he's pretty long. I think he's like in the top 30 or top 40 of driving distance on the tour. So I think the game kind of fits. And by the way, when I say game fits, I think the only game you need at TPC Twin Cities is to just hit the ball far. And Michael Thompson won, who doesn't hit the ball very far, but the leaderboards, for the most part, the top of the leaderboards are just filled with dudes that bomb the ball. and it makes sense based on the course. So Nick Hardy hits the ball pretty far. He's in pretty good form. So I would lean him out of all of them, but you know, Nick Hardy, Cam Davis, the rest of those dudes, I think I'm just out on. They don't do much for me.
Right. And I feel like the par fives are reachable. Are they?
It honestly, it just depends how far you hit the ball. All of them are going to play about 600 yards.
Mm-hmm.
They're like 594, 596, and 598 or something. Yeah, like that.
But 18 just depends on how far right center of the fairway you're going to be, right?
Right. If you push it a little bit right, you can hit an iron in. Cam Champ did that today in the practice round. He hit it pretty decently right.
Yeah.
Hit an iron in and then hit it on the green. But yeah, I mean,
I remember my buddy that played up there last year hit it down the right center, and where it was so hard last year, it just went into the water.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. If you hit it too far, it will run right into the water, which mm-hmm. is the problem. But the other thing is it's been warm and relatively dry here. It's rained a little bit, but the grass is looking a little brown, but the grass in Minnesota doesn't give much. So like if you hit it out into the fairway, the ball just kind of stops. Doesn't matter if it's been dry or wet for whatever reason. I don't know if that's a grass type thing, but so we don't have to think about if all the bombers are going to be just hitting the ground. It's going to roll for days and give them extra yard. It's just the ball just kind of lands and stops. So I think you're going to just want the dudes that just hit it really far, because the short guys just are not going to be able to get to the par fives. They have no chance. The group today that we were watching was Cam, Champ, and Michael Thompson. So the last two winners. Champ had an iron into 18. Michael Thompson had to lay up because he was so far back off the tee. He had no chance to get to the green. And it's a significant disadvantage on the par fives, which are the scoreable holes. A lot of these holes are long. They're not like super... They'll be birdies, but they're not all like very scoreable holes. So you got to take advantage of the par fives, which is why I think the long hitters are going to be they should be really popular.
I got you. We're blitzed through the 8K range, 7K range, pretty dang intriguing.
It's juicy. It is.
But this is my highlight reel down here at the bottom. How is Tom Hoagie 7,100 in this field?
That's
I feel like he should be 85, right?
Yeah, I think he should be higher just because, I mean, his season's been pretty good. And I actually think he's played here. Has he played here? Hold on, let me find him. He actually hasn't played here very well. And actually, he hasn't been playing recently very well. But the beginning of his season was decent.
Yeah.
But he's kind of a local guy, too, I think. I think he's a South Dakota guy or North Dakota guy.
I mean, look, okay. I'm going to name some names here. Okay, so.
Yeah, let's see it.
Let's name some names. I mean, not Palmer. Goddard up, obviously, everybody's going to be all over. He's the upcomer. Yep. I mean, Jason Day, who knows? Cam Champ bombs it. Todd hits it good. I mean, Fowler makes a lot of sense. Svensson makes sense. Grillo makes sense. Wyndham Clark makes sense. CT Pan makes sense. Higo makes sense. Troy Merritt bombs it off the tee. Lucas Glover hits it great. Smotherman is a go low kind of guy. Somehow
Troy Merritt's a local guy too, by the way. He's a Minnesota.
Oh, okay, there you go. Matthias Schwab, Nick Taylor, Danny
Tom
Lee
Kim
bombs
is
it.
Be popular, I think.
Yeah. Oh, is this the guy that got the emergency membership?
Yep. Yep.
What's the story on that? I haven't been paying attention to that.
I didn't read it either.
There's got to be something behind this that maybe he's probably getting ready to sign a multi-year live deal. And the PGA Tour offering a full ride.
You might be right. I don't know why. I mean, he hasn't been. He's been pretty good recently. 47, 3rd, 23rd.
Yeah. Shank, I feel like this golf course makes sense for him, but he's at 7K, and I feel like he hasn't played since the Wells Fargo.
Shank
hadn't even heard of him.
I had a good tweet series on Shank today.
I saw that. Yeah, he never did chip, and then he watched his coach chip.
He was standing there for. I mean, when I got there, that was the first person I saw on the chipping or putting. It was just chipping green. Nobody's putting on it. First person I saw, and I never saw him hit a chip. I heard him talking to his coach, whoever it was, that he was concerned about, like, being stabby at the ball when he was chipping, but he never hit one. And then Chad and I left and came back more than 2 hours later. He was still there. His bag hadn't moved, so he didn't go anywhere else. And he was still not hitting chips. His coach was hitting chips, and he was standing behind his coach watching his coach hit chips. So, I mean, honestly, it's like watching practice rounds, you shouldn't take a whole lot from them because, I mean, they're just like trying things and learning things. And especially today, like it was very windy. So they're not out there like hitting shots like this is how it's going to go this weekend, because it's probably not going to be as windy as it was today this weekend. So, I mean, a lot of things I don't think you can just take away from today and say this is how it's going to go. But I watched him do that and just stand on the chipping green he was there for 3 hours and just never hit a chip. A little concerning, to be honest. And actually his last time out, he withdrew, I think, at the John Deere. So maybe there's something wrong with it.
This is going to be I'm just looking at some pricing here. It's definitely going to be a 2 10Ks or two, you know, maybe Cam Davis and one of the upper guys, and then all sevens. I mean,
yeah, I think that's probably what I'll do. I'll start at Tony, and I'll probably grab Cam Davis or Nick Hardy, and then I'll just rip through these 7Ks. A lot of the names you listed, I like too. Ryan Palmer hits the ball pretty far. Champ, I'm staying away from Brendan Todd. I don't think he hits far enough. Ricky,
no.
I think Svensson is going to be very popular. I mean, his last few tournaments are insane. 24th, 25th, 21st, 45th. He's in really good form. Finished 15th here in 2019. I mean, yeah, I mean, this range is just juicy. Like you said, it's nuts.
Yeah. I like this range a lot. Lee Hodges, yeah. Like a lot. Get down the 6K range. It's going to get a lot thinner really fast. It's like all the whole player pool is in the sevens. Not really any bombers or anything that sticks out for me down here.
Hank Lebiota is an interesting name, just right at 6,900.
Yeah.
Withdrew last year. The 2 years prior, though, 26th and 34th. Recent form is pretty decent. It feels like the court – I really don't like to like label courses as like a lefty course or a righty course, but it feels like the course kind of sets up for a lefty. Everything just kind of feeds the way lefties kind of swing. So, and obviously it's worked for him 26th, 34th, and that's 6,900. I mean, if you're going to basically guarantee like a top 35 from a 6,900 guy, I'm in on that. I think Bo Hoag, by the way, 6,800 last 2 years, 16th and 12th. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm looking at here in the low sixes.
Oh, you're going all the way down here.
I'm like, this is like 15 years ago, Baddeley, Ben Crane, Ricky Barnes. Why did I think Richie Wawinski had won here? He won in Detroit, maybe.
No, yeah, he wasn't here.
Garrigus, he's a bomber, but he's way down in there. Your boy, the smoke story. I heard y'all yelling at him.
That was Chad. Chad wanted to get the story behind his famous the famous smoke picture.
Yeah,
big cloudy. So he was asking about that.
Yeah, he bombs it, man. He bombs.
He does hit it pretty far.
But his iron game is very.
He's pretty built.
He's a big old boy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is for sure.
Grayson Murray. Did I see somewhere he got escorted out of a golf tournament?
I think you're right. I think that
last weekend.
Yeah, I think that's right. And then the weekend before he was tweeting that he's only got like 3 or 4 more weeks left on the PGA Tour and he's done. So it sounds like he's gonna be a live guy.
Austin Cook.
You know what's gonna happen to him though? He's gonna go to live, and then FedEx Cup's gonna be done, and like a whole bunch of dudes are gonna leave PGA Tour and go to live, and he's gonna be booted off the live.
Yeah,
he's gonna be right back on the PGA Tour.
You gotta be some kind of hope you're getting a guarantee, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Bill Haas, old timer. Andy Novick's. That's somebody you can maybe highlight. Pete, don't hit it far enough. Ryan Moore, don't hit it far enough. I mean, maybe just maybe we're not usually down. You're not usually dabbling around in the 6Ks unless it's a major championship anyway, where the where you're getting more value down there. Just stay about 7,100 and above, and you'll be fine week.
I'm not going any lower than 6,900. I don't think.
Yeah. So who's your dart for the week? Your long shot.
If I got to go way down here, man. I mean, I don't think I can pick any of these guys way down here.
Yeah, we go sevens. I mean, we're looking at, 60, 70 to one.
You know who's going to – he's not going to pop in, like, recent form or anything, but, like, stats-wise, I think is ends up just being, like, a really good overall ball striker. Is this Scott Gostchewski guy? I think his ball striking and approach numbers are actually really good. I think he's like towards the top of the tour, but I think he might be the worst putter on the planet.
250 to 1.
Yeah.
To win.
I don't know if he has any chance to win, but I think he'll probably.
He's the one that played really well in San Antonio.
Yep.
He looks like the neighborhood butcher or something.
Yeah. I saw his name. This year is the first time I've seen his name. And then I saw him on TV. It must have been in San Antonio.
Yeah.
He looks like a really old dude.
Yeah, he looks like he's 55. I thought maybe he was like a local, they club usually gets one guy they get to put in the tournament or something.
Right. I wonder if here's what I'm gonna put my stake in. I don't doubt he has any chance to win. I'm gonna put my stake in Cole Hammer. 6,500.
Cole Hammer.
That's the
guy. 210 to 1 on FanDuel.
That's my guy, Cole Hammer.
Okay, I'm gonna go against the one of the rules of the turn fantasy golf podcast, and that's I'm going Lucas Glover 100 to 1. I think he's like 7,400 this week. Makes total sense for him to win because there's no way he could actually win a golf tournament. but intriguing wise, obviously, I mean, Hoagie at 80-1 is pretty intriguing, right? I mean,
yeah, I would agree.
Very Wyndham Clark 59.
I like Wyndham Clark. He's he bombs it out there. He finished fifth in 2019.
Yeah,
I think Neesmith cut the 2 years after.
You didn't. Neesmith at 55 to 1. That's a pretty good number. He doesn't bomb it though. So that's my long shot. Who do you think's gonna win? Like, I definitely feel we're top heavy in this field, big time, right?
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's really easy to pick Tony. So I don't think I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna go with Nick Hardy. I think Nick Hardy's gonna win.
Nick Hardy.
How about that?
Nick Hardy 45 to 1. Real odds 60 to 1. I don't hate it. I mean, it's really top heavy. Feels like this field feels like a Canadian Open to field.
I mean, you could just throw a dart at these names and just pick one and
I think
somebody could win. So
if he's healthy, I think Matsuyama wins.
He's.
I know you're preaching Tony, but I mean, Matsuyama's the best player in the field. I don't know. He's not the most talented. He is the best resume. Let's say that. Tony Finau is the most talented player, easy on the field. For
sure. I would say they probably are pretty equal in terms of like chances to win.
Yeah.
They actually play pretty similar. Like they both rip it off the tee. They both are very good iron players, and they both are dog shit putters. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. Hideki obviously has a much better winning track record.
I'm going Hideki. You can actually get Hideki at 18 to 1. His real odds are about. I've got it down as 18.05 to 1. So yeah, you can get it basically face value on him. So I go Matsuyama, Lucas Glover, and you're going Nick Hardy and. I remember who you picked now.
The low price guy?
The Goose Sosimich? the German butcher.
Gostkowski, whatever his
name is. Yeah.
Can I'm gonna change it. I'm going okay. Matthias, I'm going with Matthias Schwab.
Schwab.
I love that guy. That's my guy.
Okay. I like that. Schwab. Schwab is 95-1. Okay. Yeah, I'll take that. All right, man. Josh, man, thanks for coming on. Love everything you do for rotoballer.com with the course layouts, a lot of information there. Golf Guys podcast. You'll be at 3M Open live tweeting, I'm sure, all weekend.
I'll be there. I was going to go Friday and Sunday. Now I think I'm going to be there Saturday morning and Sunday. So I'll be there for the weekend for the guys that make the cut and matter.
Get you some liquid IV and some water and
that's right. I do need some
water. And suntan lotion. So man, appreciate you coming on, filling in for Joe tonight.
Sure.
He'll be back next week. Thank you, rotoballer.com, for everything you do. Ladies and gentlemen, you have listened to the Turner Fantasy Golf Podcast brought to you by rotoballer.com. It's gonna drive.